Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Listen to that all day long.
Is this your funky jam?
It is. I love this funky jam. It's an old.
You picked the intro music for this show.
It is. It's an old time funky jam. Those guys are way too young. They don't. Especially that one. He has no clue who it is. You know? No, it's not Spice Girls.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening. This is Shasta Live.
Yes.
We're live from Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Yes, we are.
And this is the Shasta County
Chamber
of Commerce.
There you go.
Yep.
Nigel, James, we have a full house here
yeah.
today.
And Yvonne is taking the place for Jason. Jason's a little
I'm
under
a buzz.
Yeah, you're a buzz. Jason's a little under the weather tonight.
Slightly under the weather.
Yeah, he has been for a little while because I think patient zero is at the end of the table, and he's all better, but he spread the disease throughout all of Shasta County.
Yes. And he didn't charge for it either.
Yeah, right. So we've had this thing where our group amongst all of our friends and stuff, this one came down with something horrific. And lo and behold, within about 3 weeks, probably 100 people were just on our deathbed.
Well, a small community, so I'm sure it traveled around.
Yeah. Very quickly. So, yeah, Jason's the last one, and he's just trying to pull himself together. So, Jason, if you're listening tonight, prayers, my friend, and get well soon.
Exactly. I heard immunity.
Oh, herd immunity. Herd immunity. That's what we're working towards.
Yeah, I haven't gotten sick yet.
You haven't?
No, we're good. No. Anyway, we're all about the community here. We have some guests here.
We do.
You know, it's one of those things again. That's I think this is an area that we don't pay attention to until we hear it in the air around about cool April nights, right? All of a sudden, you hear the engines revving.
So, well, and or if you're well connected a little bit to the Shasta District Fairground,
yes,
because there's some stuff that's that you get over there as well.
So we want to welcome you. We have Tony. What's your last name, Tony?
Tony Tripp.
What a trip!
And
Hawk Mazzotta.
You guys know each other, I think.
Hawk and I. Yeah, I've known him for a little while.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have
He's
two.
My little baby twerp.
Yeah. I heard the nickname.
Yeah.
But we have two guys here who like to go fast ever since you were kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Literally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this one.
Yeah. Once you go fast, it's in your blood, and you just it's kind of like gambling. It's just this addiction.
Yeah.
And you just keep doing it, and you keep going faster and faster.
Yeah. See, I had that. I used to like to go fast, and then all of a sudden, one day, I heard that voice. Stop.
Slow down.
Slow down. Park it in the garage.
Nigel, you're coming home.
Yes. Not yet. Okay, so Tony, why don't you give us a little intro into who you are?
Take
and
us back.
What you do.
Way back machine.
I'll do that.
This goes back. So we are talking about the speedway, the drag strip.
Yeah, so just back history. Been in drag racing most of my adult life. Married into the family that owned Sacramento Raceway Park in Sacramento in Northern California. Back in, when did we get married? 89. And my wife and I ran that racetrack for a better part of 40 years, 30 years. And it was family owned. My father-in-law started that track back in 67.
Wow.
So it's been in the blood. It's been in our family for a long time. There you go. And, you know, the county in Sacramento area, you know, pushed us out for the most part. We had to shut down. We had to sell.
And was that due to anything like just because encroachment?
Encroachments.
Yeah, I would assume, right?
Yeah, homes encroachments.
Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like you have this thing, right? I look at the airport now and I drive back and forth and I think, you know, they're so close to having neighborhoods literally almost on the runway already after that, you know, miles and miles of nothingness. It's like, what do they not understand about when you build next to a drag strip? It's going to piss people off.
Yeah.
But also, why would you buy there?
Right. You know, 10 years before we closed, they started to actually make homeowners sign a kind of a waiver release that
oh, sure.
they know Smart. That not only was the racetrack right there, but there was an Air Force base, and they flew planes on and off that runway, and then there was a rendering plant that was within 10 miles of the drag strip that did not smell good. So they had to sign that waiver, and you know, that helped things out a bit, but, you know, growth is everything for a lot of people, a lot of counties, a lot of councils. We had 200 acres there, and of course, when it was purchased in 68, it was purchased for $200,000. Ooh. And it was never refinanced. It was paid off immediately. And, of course, you know, property taxes on the $200,000 was next to nothing. So if you take that 200 acres and you divide that up at 5 homes per acre and you take that monies that can be gained, what city's not going to want that?
Follow the money.
Follow the money. So, you know, 3 years ago, a family here, the Branson family, ran this racetrack, and she had had enough and called and asked if we were interested and to keep it going, and my wife and I talked about it, and we knew Sacramento was going to close, and we need a place for drag racers to come and continue to do the sport that we all love to do. And so we took that over, and in the last 3 years, we've put a substantial amount of money into the facility.
And just so our listeners are clear, you're talking about the Reading Motor.
The Reading Motorsports Park. It used to be called Reading Drag Strip. We've changed that name to Reading Motorsports Park because the vision of everything is to
beyond
drag racing, make it a facility that we can have supermoto, we can have karts, we can have motocross. You know, we've already got a full tilt motocross track out there, and he does a great job with that track. And looking forward to the future in Reading, and everybody seems to want to support that. And and it's grown a lot in the last 3 years. So we're just hoping to get bigger and have bigger events that we can bring people from outside of Reading and support Shasta County.
Yeah, so 3 years, right? So you're coming out of COVID now, and people are starting to go get back into
COVID.
Get back into regular living, shall we say? So it's like, oh yeah, the drag strip. Forgot about that. What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know what COVID was. COVID did not really hurt us. We ran Sacramento Raceway through COVID, and it was some of our biggest events we had.
Yeah,
for sure. People were just trying to get out of someplace go somewhere else they could.
Yeah, most drag races are business owners. They understand. They get it. So, you know, that never did really affect us. And, you know, here I know it did here. I know they had some issues here at the drag strip. She only had to close down during COVID.
That's weird. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she shut down for months and was not able to operate. So
how many events are you putting on at the drag strip?
We run about 30 to 40 event days a year.
Really?
So if you look at our calendar, it's a full calendar. We've got something going on. Because, you know, of course, up here, as you all know, July and August, there's not really much you can do during the day in Reading. It's just too hot.
Well, you go up to the back end of Lassen, and you just kind of lay on the ground in the snow.
You lay on the snow that's left.
Yeah,
it's crack.
You know, we have employees that are out there. We've got, you know, things you just can't be.
But what you guys do also is wicked fun at night.
Yeah, no,
I love to go to night stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're a part of it, it's a big family. Drag Race is a big family. We all know each other. We all take care of each other. We all borrow each other's parts.
Yeah.
And
and that's what you did in your past was drag racing or what other kind of racing? Because you said
I've only been able to afford drag racing because once you get in, you can't spend money on anything else.
Yeah.
You know, we'll spend $40,000 on a motor. And that's just the motor. Then you've got everything else on top of it.
How much is a drag car?
Boy, that's a scary.
What kind?
Yeah. I mean, you could spend $300,000 on a drag car.
An intro car if you wanted to get into
it. If I wanted to go buy a car right now that would run like 1050s down the drag strip, it might cost me $15,000 to buy a car like that.
But if you want to do something,
I've got a funny car that I race, and it's a blown funny car. And it's a Hemi motor. I probably have at least $300,000 in my car.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, over the last, not bad. But it's the sport we love to do. And that's, again, you can spend it, you know, riding supercross or, spend it in drag racing. You can spend it in karts. You can spend it in so many things.
I think last week our guest was in the boat business. And there's this whole, I don't remember what the name of the company was. It was like
Fast Boat.
Something. And they're all aluminum boats out of Southern Oregon for wakeboarding. And they're in the $300,000+. And I'm like, so. Well, pick your poison.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
So I tell you what, let's take our first 1 minute break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back and we'll talk
Sit back, grab a drink.
Hawk.
And we'll introduce you to the
Hawk.
Other the
Ooh, I know this
sidekick.
That's Steve Miller.
You know this?
Yeah. Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Get off your phone, Nigel.
Why? And we're back. Shasta Live, how's it going?
He's trying to catch Pokemon. No.
I lost that one many years ago. Shasta Live, we're Shasta with Live. Tony Tripp, Hawk Mazzotta. This is a fast show.
Yeah.
Talking about the drag strip out there and some of the other things going on. Hawk, you like to ride dirt bikes.
Motorsports. motor park. Motorsports park.
Motorsports park.
Blah, 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 blah. I'll get it.
All right. Sure. Very cool. Hawk, how are you? You guys are brothers. How long have you been riding motorcycles? Since you were three.
On a three-wheeler, which would have been 1984.
Uh-huh. My brothers have always been on motor vehicles. Yeah.
And we were talking the other day, you've also done some bull riding. Was that it?
For a split second. It was a short stint there.
Yeah. Pretty short. Eight
seconds. Yeah, you had a few of those. Got injured a ton, but enjoyed it. That was, for sure, of all the stuff I've done, that was the most exciting and gnarliest compared to road racing.
Riding a bull.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know whether you're going to live or not.
I have amazing pictures of him and Zach, our other brother, and it's so funny to me because it was just kind of how things were at our house, but I have pictures of them when they were, tiny, tiny boys on three-wheelers with helmets five times too big for them and gloves, right?
Well,
and
their kids are doing the same.
And they would be in the driveway riding around on these little, I don't know, what were they, 50s?
Mm-hmm. Like 15 and 80.
Yeah, tiny, tiny things with restrictors just to keep it whatever. But they hauled around. They would literally ride so much that they would fall asleep while they were riding. And you'd come out, and the motor would be running, and they'd be face down on the gas tank, out cold, just sleeping. That's how much they were.
So that was a sign early on that was your calling. So you've done really well, right?
It's in our blood. I mean, our father, Jamie Mazzotta, besides the many things that he did in life. One of his greatest passions was race car driving. And so he had one of the most fantastic car collections you could possibly ever have at some point in our lives and forever. And then would do lots of racing. I mean, he has actually raced over in Enzo Ferrari's track at his castle in Italy and Formula One and all that stuff. And so that's where it comes
from. Prepares you for going down Market Street here, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and at some point, which was amazing, my father bought the MCI a long time ago, if you don't remember, MCI, the telecommunication, bought the team. And that's where you kind of were introduced into road racing. I mean, you guys did much of stuff, but your debut was at Long Beach Grand Prix as brothers. Like they were like twin cars, twin team, where you guys got to race in that area. So that was one of the most exciting projects Yvonne and I ever did in marketing is because we got to just randomly do the marketing for the team, right? And we were out of the box because we weren't in the world. So what we did for them was not standard.
We came from the beauty industry.
Yeah, but very well received. And
so when did you become a pro?
1999 was my first. I raced, I believe, about 2.5 years prior to of motorcycle road racing. And
so
then,
you've been a pro ever since?
Yeah, I mean, 1999 went pro, did my first race in Laguna Seca, Monterey, and got on the podium, which is pretty special. Earned my national number, 21. My mom picked it for her birthday.
Your number 21?
Yeah.
Very cool.
And, yeah, then really had a very on-off career, a lot of it by choice, you know. It wasn't something that we grew up doing. Until we moved to Monterey, I didn't even know what road racing was, motorcycle road racing, mm-hmm. at all. But Laguna Seca was in the backyard, so we had gone out and just watched, I think it was like a track day, motorcycle track day. And
you've broken how many bones?
Oh, gosh.
All of them?
A handful. He has a leg that barely is there. I mean, doctors basically say if you screw up again, you're going to get it cut off.
Do you still get that rush when you ride and you race and all that stuff? You still get that rush?
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of what I need in my life.
Yeah.
You know, because I stopped racing for a lot of years. I was on and off, and I completely retired from racing in 2010.
How did you guys meet?
Just by chance recently, really.
Just concerns with the kart track, and you know, my goal is to again make this community be available to watch all of the different types of events we put on out there. And I talked to Hawk, and he had visions that kind of are in line with mine. And so hopefully, you know, we can move down the road together and create more motorsports here in Reading.
Mm-hmm. So can we do motocross at that?
It's happening. Motocross is happening. I mean, that's been run at Stillwater, and they do a great job. Beautiful track. Great turnouts, and between, really, with Tony's background in motorsports, period, but when you grow up doing it, you're a racer and a promoter, and you put it all on, you understand it better than anyone.
Sure.
So I've found, because I've put on...
Well, probably hard to find a person that's good at both of those, because probably racers, not necessarily all of them are very good business people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but I mean,
he
most likely...
He has a $300,000 car. He better be good at business.
Well, I have a wife that... we've been married for, I don't even, 35, 36 years.
Does she ever look at you sideways when you look at the car?
Whenever I break something, she says, go buy it. So that's cool. I've been very fortunate enough to have somebody that will support not only what I love, but I know she loves it too.
Do you wait for that word, go buy it, before you go buy it?
No. Oh.
You know, it's
I don't need to worry about it now. I just go buy it. So, yeah, and she loves it. Like I said, it's she probably likes to watch it better, more than I do.
You know, we were talking about this the other day, random question, but are there any, this is going to be a dumb question, but are there any women in that drag race?
Oh, yeah, there's Joy Tucker and Sam Tucker. He works for a propane company here in town, and they both are avid drag racers. She won the Heritage Series.
Does she have any children?
She has 2 or 3 kids, yeah.
So she's Mother Tucker.
She's a Mother Tucker. She's a I think she's a principal, or she works for this. Oh no, she works for the fire department or something.
Oh yes,
but, you know, she's a competitor, and she's a champion. She does really well. There's a lot of women that are doing
I like her already.
Yeah. Well, she's great people.
You know, how many of us were raised with motorcycles in their life?
Women.
All of it. I mean, you two, obviously.
I was for sure.
I used to go every
most
Sunday.
Most people, I think, too.
I grew up in L.A., and we'd go to Gorman every Sunday. Gorman.
I used to ride motorcycles all my life.
Yeah.
And Gorman's no longer there either.
Really?
No. Oh. And so and that's what is like a big part of all this, is that our motocross tracks, road race courses, drag strips, they're disappearing due to, you know, encroachments, liability,
exhaust,
all sorts of stuff. Sound.
We probably had 4 drag strips in the last 3 or 4 years closed.
Isn't Shasta one of only a few left in California?
Yeah, we've only got, as far as drag strips go,
you've
got Famosa, which is Bakersfield.
Famosa.
You've got us, and Pomona would only run a couple times a year now. So
that's where I was.
That's it.
Yeah.
And Sonoma.
But their drag racing program is nil to none.
And tonight when I came on, I was just looking at some facts, but interestingly enough, this is really where we need to up our game and save it, because it's saying here that the drag strip here at Reading is one of the oldest continuous operation drag strips in the U.S. of A. Not just California, but
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
We need to.
We're either the oldest or the second oldest. There's been some talk about that.
But at that point, who cares? Like, right. like we need to make sure that it stays that way. Exactly. Yeah.
So what needs to happen from a industry or from a community standpoint, industry standpoint, what needs to happen to grow this sport here? Do we call it a sport?
Yeah,
it is a full sport, and it's a very competitive sport. You know, I think we're just, you just keep throwing money at it, and you keep making this facility better. We need running water. We don't have running water out there. We've got portable bathrooms. We would like to get, you know, because for women, you know, it's tough. Guys, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
For women to go out there and use a porta potty that's been used by 200 people Men. Prior to that. Yeah. It's tough. So,
it's nasty.
Yeah. I mean, you just keep improving. You keep making improvements. We've spent almost $1 million so far in 3 years just to do the improvements. We put a whole new track surface. We put K-Wall for safety. We added 3 or 4 acres of asphalt for parking.
So you've done that kind of investment yourself already?
Yes.
Wow. See, that's amazing. That in itself should be headline news.
There's a lot happening.
Nobody spends that kind of money on many things anymore, right?
Well, it's...
I'm sorry, yeah. And I am...
That's three cars.
Right.
I'm sorry if people are not understanding that. That is an amazing investment on your part to...
Well, the growth is showing it. In 3 years, I don't know how many triple times over you could say that we've tripled. Our car counts have gotten bigger. 24, this last year, our car counts got bigger every single event. By the end of the year, we were doing record turnouts every single event.
Sure.
So we opened up a whole new lot for parking.
Which leads me to then the next thing, and I'm sure Nigel was on his focused on that and on the way, is that, you know, these types of things, organizations, whatever you want to call them, it doesn't matter what industry, but if they can show growth and they can show people are coming in from out of the area and they can show people are staying in hotels and they're dining here and they're entertaining family for the weekend and all that kind of stuff, that is the stuff that Shasta County, City of Reading needs. Like that,
100%.
That's lifeblood to everything.
I also want to add teaching our youth.
Yeah.
And that's what Hawk does. Teaching our youth how to race, how to ride, and actually growing the industry with our youth.
Yeah. So I would hope that the city and county would take note. Mm-hmm. I mean, because
I think they are. They've been open arms for the most part with what we're doing. They've given me the right to be able to put in a full road course when we're ready to do that. And with the, I don't want to call it a go-kart track because that's what it's always been called, a go-kart track. No. We're changing the name. We're going to call this thing, you know, we're going to rebrand it.
Yeah.
We're going to put as much money into that facility out back. Cause we're really excited to bring more people to Shasta County and it's showing, you know, you look back at like Cool April Nights, Cool April Drags Week.
Yeah.
Every hotel in town is completely booked.
Yeah.
That's a huge event. We have two or three other big events throughout the year. Most of the hotels are full that never were like that prior to 3 years ago. So, you know, the growth of Shasta County, they've got to be able to see that. The restaurants, everybody's, you know, getting their part. And that's small business. That's what we're here for.
So, before we go, we have a minute and a half. How can people find you?
ReadingMotorsportsPark.com.
Okay. And what does the calendar look like for the next couple months?
We have a full calendar. We're waiting to get to this weather that you guys seem to have abruptly up here.
rain and snow, kind of normal because we get everything in like
it should be that way.
Like a month. Right. It just is like rains, and then that's it.
Yeah, if you go to the website, our first event would be this weekend. We'll see how that goes with weather. If we don't get it in this weekend, we've rescheduled for the last weekend in February, first day of March, and it'll be our first bracket race of the year, where we'll have people coming from all over Northern California.
And from then on,
it's going to
be regular events throughout the rest of the summer.
Oh, yeah. We've got events every weekend through June. And then July and August, of course, from the heat, we do our Midnight Mayhems, which are from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., and that supports our youth.
See, nighttime.
Here in town.
It's cool.
I know. And that's a real successful, real popular little program. A lot of kids. We'll get 700 to 1,000 kids out there from Reading just to give them something to do.
Yeah. A lot of kids jacked up on sugar.
And we, you know, we try to make it a festive, fun event. We have music playing, and, you know, they've got their cars and the good old days.
Yeah. I know, you might already have it and stuff, but get kids like with the whole little RC tracks and stuff.
Oh, yeah. We're working on things like that. Uh-huh. You know, working with Hawk, you know, he's got his school and, you know, a big part of Shasta County and bringing people from all over the world to his school.
You just had a wonderful kid come from Bermuda to be trained by you for the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. And so we are a nonprofit. We've got our nonprofit that is part of that facility, and you know, helping him to be able to grow his dream, to be able to use that out at the track, to have a school out there, just makes it better for all of us.
Yep.
You know, it makes me feel good that we're providing a place for him.
Thank you for coming on. We'll make sure that on our website we'll start promoting your calendar.
Appreciate that. Thank awesome. You guys for having us.
And we'll have you on more regularly.
Love to have, love to come. I've you know, love to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, guys.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
That was a fast exchange.
Really?
Of bodies. Yeah, not everybody's ready. Bart's here, but he was like, hey, what am I, you know, here, put this on, do this, whatever.
Don't worry. I'll just jump in a lot.
And just so you know, I don't know, my mic sounds weird now since the last time we were on. You're going to talk, oh, there it goes. Now I got it. You're going to talk directly into the mic.
Okay, you got it.
Pretend it's your
hello.
Favorite.
My girlfriend?
Yeah. I was
no, I have a wife. It's okay. It's
okay.
Hello.
When you guys laugh, I have to turn you down.
Don't.
And when you start talking about something important, I have to turn you up.
Okay.
But when you go, ah!
but you know what you don't do, Mikey? You don't turn me on.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad.
We're digressing. I see.
We're spiraling. Going.
That's all right. There's a lot of things I could say. I'm gonna try to keep it at
that. Oh, so, okay, guess what? KCNR 96.5 FM, 14. Shasta
Live.
Shasta Live.
Shasta
County Chamber. Nigel James. Yvonne. And now,
Spencer showed up.
With Spencer.
And I'm Bart.
Bart.
I'm the owner of Woody's since November.
Ooh.
My wife and I.
How's that working out for you?
Are you dead yet?
Not yet, but I don't sleep a lot.
Those are some big shoes to fill. Scott.
Yeah, I know. Those are great guys. We're really excited to take over the legacy that they kind of like started from scratch, really.
You look very young.
Well.
Have you aged?
That's all relative, you know what I mean?
You're 10, but you grew a beard already.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's come back and circle next month.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you'll see how much I've aged in a month.
See how much hair I have? Okay, yeah. So Bart, where are you from originally?
I was actually born and raised here in Reading.
Nice. That's awesome.
What high school?
Anderson. Yep, Anderson High School. My wife and I actually met in high school. We're high school sweethearts and been married for 26 years now. And So, yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we were co-founders of Final Draft Brewing Company.
Okay,
and so we were there for about 4 years.
Okay,
and then kind of decided to move on and kind of do our own thing.
So you have some beer in your blood.
Oh, I think I've got a lot of that.
It's still in there?
Probably more than should be sometimes.
Have you had to admit that you're an alcoholic at any point yet?
Well, I guess it depends on your definition. I just like it so much.
That's good. You know,
it makes you happy. That's
most
all
brewers that I've ever met, it's a passion.
Definitely.
Yeah. Just like coffee people, right?
That's right.
I mean, like, I think you grind coffee and you brew it and you drink it. Oh, no. I mean, there's an entire world behind it.
Oh, yes, there is.
So
it's like a subculture.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's something I think a lot of people don't understand when they're not in it, is mm-hmm. that it's a whole subculture that is like I could, my wife and I went over to Belgium and Germany.
Ooh, yeah.
We do a big trip every 10 years for anniversary. And we were amazed that the culture there of craft beer is like the same.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we found a craft brewery in the middle of Belgium, in Brussels there, and they invited us in and gave us beers, and we talked about techniques and different mm-hmm. products, things they can use that we don't get to because the FDA banned them years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any
nothing
sense.
Nothing healthy.
But I know, I was going to say,
right.
No.
Don't put anything healthy in
right. And it was a lot of fun. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? My experience while traveling through Europe was quite shocking. That when I was in Germany, by the time I've got up to Cologne, which they call Köln, the Kölsch beer, which was my, you know, I'm a wuss, okay? I'm just a wuss, but I like a Hefeweizen. And Kölsch to me has a little bit of that feel to it, you know, because I was like, I'm not going to get this back home. I'm not getting a Kölsch beer back home. So then I found the Hefeweizen, which reminded me a little bit of it. But literally, you literally walk from door to door to door down cobblestones, and you walk in, and they have their own brand of Kölsch, and you drink them out of these really small, tall glasses,
yep.
right? And you're not supposed to take them, but I wanted one from everywhere because they have their logo on them, right?
Don't admit too much right here.
Yeah. But it was fantastic, and I thought, this is amazing. I mean, like, talk about vibrant, you know, beer culture. It was like, holy smokes. Like, I couldn't even imagine that there could be that many different types of beer.
It is true what we're talking about now, because people are now starting to pay attention. So let's take, for example, the candy. You can buy the same chocolate bar here and the same chocolate bar in Belgium, like, say, a Mars bar, and you look at the ingredients on both of them. They're slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Oh, yes.
The big controversy with JFK Jr. just recently. He was in Congress talking about the health of our food. He took a box of Fruit Loops from Canada and the same box of Fruit Loops from the United States. And I think there was like 40 ingredients in the box from the United States, and there was like 6 in Canada.
Yeah. Okay, but we digress. So,
no, that's fine, because you know, it really translates. That's one of the great things I love about beer. As much as all of these other things have changed, if you pick up just about any beer, mm-hmm. especially a craft beer.
Yeah.
It's like barley, hops, water, and yeast. I mean, those are the ingredients. What do you expect, you know? So,
well, that's good to know.
Yeah. You know, I would say, I know I'm a little biased saying this, but like, beer is a pretty healthy thing to be drinking. You know exactly what it is that you're drinking. So,
what you want to avoid, though, is if they have anything in there that says natural flavors.
Yeah.
Because if they put that, it sounds like that would be fine. But we have sayings in this country that are listed that a million things can be hidden under that name.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So you, one of the co-founders of Final Draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you stepped away.
Stepped away. How'd you get the idea, the bright idea of talking to Scott about... taking over.
I thought you were going to say to do this all over again. that was a whole other thing. Well, that actually happened pretty much organically. We were looking into starting our own brewery from scratch again. I don't know why I would do that again. It was so difficult the first time.
I'm sure.
But at least I'd done it already, so, you know, shouldn't be too bad. And so we were looking into that, and we kept running into roadblock after roadblock. Whether it was like the location that, we could afford to rent or whatever, but we were never going to get customers, or You know what I mean?
We know that one.
Or we like found a great place, but we can't figure out how to get through all the hurdles that the city puts up to mm-hmm. change use or whatever the case may be. You know, mm-hmm. it just seemed out of reach, and we were right on the verge of giving up.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, somebody from the city is listening.
And
no, I don't mean that derogatory. It is what it is, right?
It's like, it is.
I get that cities have ordinances and rules. I mean, we all have to have them to make things work and even stuff, but it is so complicated.
It is.
And, you know, this whole place works off of business.
Yeah.
So, like, make it truly find a way to make something business friendly.
Yeah. And I get the whole thing that they can't, like, make exceptions for one person that they can't make exceptions for another.
But then make the rules workable for everybody.
Well, just make it a little easier. That's all. I mean, just make it easier, you know. Anyway.
Did you already have a liquor license when you were looking?
No. You buy it when you take over that way. Otherwise, you have to apply to start. That in itself is a...
Yeah, that's a feat.
Yeah. So,
just so you know, I'm waiting to get to the caramelized bacon...
Beer?
No. Appetizer.
Yeah, oh.
Whatever it is.
Oh,
he likes that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
is it
food. Forget the beer.
Is it easier to get your license if you're going to be a manufacturer than it is if you want to be just a retailer?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's what I
thought. Yes, it is. So anyway, we were on the verge of giving up, and I just happened to be on my way home from work one day, and Scott called me.
Mm.
He just called me, and he said, hey, you know.
Hey, Bart, you want to buy Woody's?
Yeah, basically it was like, hey,
sounds like something he would say.
We've been looking at, you know, selling for a little while, and we got a couple of bites, but nothing's worked out. And we just thought of you guys because we know you guys, because we've known Scott for, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know,
and no
15 years now. We were homebrewers and together.
No disrespect to Scott, but Bart and Woody's sounds better together.
Well, good. It'll be there for a while. So anyway, I said, well, I'm out to talk to my wife because, like, I'm not really sure. I mean, that's an interesting opportunity, but I'm not going to do anything without her. And so we went back and talked about it. And we were like, you know, ultimately, this seems like a really good fit.
Mm.
And it really has been. They've got great customer base that are very loyal. And, you know, we're local, and we're all about coming in and, you know, local family, take over for another local family. I think it's great.
Staff is great. They're super friendly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you guys are part of Shasta Eats.
Eat Shasta.
I'm never going to get that right. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
We'll talk about it later.
Sorry. When you get it wrong, it's even better because people remember it better. Yes. Yeah. We actually just joined recently.
They did.
So last week, I think.
Very cool. So in this kind of situation, obviously you want to come in. You don't want to disrupt the apple cart. You want to ease on into it so you keep things the same. How does that work when it comes to brewing? Do you guys have to? I mean, obviously you probably kept some of the, I don't know what you call them, brewers. I don't know, that know how to do it. Is it something that you have to learn? I mean, I know you know how to make beer, but is there a trade secret to make theirs consistent, or you just kind of go, oh, okay, thanks for the recipe, and I can do it?
Yeah, what a loaded question. You realize you're talking to a brewer, right?
Trade secrets,
James. No trade secrets.
No, it's
kind of like our chocolate.
I was in charge of the beer production at Final Draft.
Sure.
I was the brewer.
That's
not what I'm doing
mm-hmm.
at Woody's. They have a really good brewer, Kirk.
Okay.
He's been there for years, and he's done a really good job of having consistency.
So he came with the deal.
High quality, exactly. And he wanted to come along, and I'm like, great. Even better, because I need to run this place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't run it and brew mm-hmm. as much as I would like to, because mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to brew than it is to run the place,
mm-hmm.
And a lot more fun. But... No, he's doing a great job. I really appreciate him, and we've been able to figure out how this relationship's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, my big thing is like, let's find your passion
mm-hmm.
that really makes you tick, because that makes you make better beer, and that's what I want.
Right.
I want for this.
Tell you what, let's take our last break,
okay.
And we'll get back with Bart.
All right,
at Woody's.
Bart beer.
There you go.
You really want that Bart beer?
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Get ready to explore the expansive universe of aviation and cutting-edge space technology in Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Mission Aerospace, presented by Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blassingame and produced by Minotaur Mazes, on display at Turtle Bay Museum January 18th through April 20th. This highly interactive maze puzzle is sure to inspire all generations. Mission Aerospace at Turtle Bay Museum is free for members and included with paid admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Ooh,
yeah. Quick, who is it? Name that tune.
Sounds like the Beatles. But it's probably not. Who is it, Mikey?
Beatles?
It's Beatles.
Monkeys. Monkeys. They sound the same.
Shasta Live, Shasta County Chamber, full
house. I played that for the chocolate.
Today.
Sorry,
Nigel. You. That's all right. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I love the chocolate.
That's the, I played that for the chocolate people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The two chocolate people in the room, sorry.
Yeah. He's saying he wants tangerine chocolate.
Oompa Loompa.
Oh, no, tangerine beer.
Yeah.
Okay, Spencer, and we have Bart.
Yes.
New owners of Woody's. So how's it working out? How have the customers?
Well, that's what's going to be my question is, like, no disrespect to Scott, but have you, like, kind of behind the scenes heard, like, we're so much happier with you than we were with Scott.
I'm not
going to
answer that question.
Scott, I love you. You know that. Leave it to James. I'm just always trying to stir the oops, yeah. I almost said a bad word.
The
stir the pot.
That would be the second or third time.
I thought I was going to be the one to do something like that. No, it's the customer's been great. I feel like it's been a pretty warm reception.
Oh, awesome.
You know, I think they were a little unsure at first.
For real, yeah.
And, like, you know, these guys.
You're messing with people's, you know.
Their favorite place, right? But they've been doing it for 10 years.
Don't underestimate that. That's a big deal.
It's yeah, huge. It really, really is.
Some people would do that just like and say, you know what, these fries just don't taste the same anymore since
right.
Scott's not here. And it's like nothing's changed. You right. do that packaging, right? They'll change the packaging on a box of something, and it's like, right. it's just not the same.
Yeah. No, I guarantee that's some of what's happening, you know, because... Like, we just came out with a brand new menu, which mm-hmm. is very, very little is different about it versus the old menu.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks different.
It just now says Bart's menu versus now, Scott's
well,
menu.
Well, yeah, it's a different color, you know. And people are like, oh, hey, what's up with all the changes? And it's like, well, there's not really that much that's changed. But, you know, we're trying to make things better. And
mm-hmm. That would be like McDonald's shifting to blue and white.
Right.
Instead of right. yellow.
Yeah. Right, so everything
would just throw you off.
Different
it would just,
now.
It would just yeah. throw you off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're trying. As everybody in this room obviously knows, business gets more and more expensive, especially a restaurant, every year.
I'm sorry.
And, I can attest.
And so it's hard. You'd look at it and you're like, I don't want to come in as the new owner and be perceived as the guy who raised the prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're doing everything we can to try to... like fall short of having to raise the prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to get creative about ingredients.
Well, yeah, because of that kind of a change, right? People
right.
come in and know things are more expensive. They
right.
know that. But the first thing that comes to mind is you immediately came in and raised prices.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And now still
you're the bad guy.
And now you've got to round up to fives.
Yeah. Right.
No more 99.
Yeah, exactly.
Because right? the pennies are gone.
Yeah.
they're coming. At?
Yeah. Well, I just got rid of all the pennies altogether.
Yeah.
I heard that, but
I didn't know. Happening.
Oh, it is?
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Huh. I heard daylight savings time was ending too, yeah. but
that would be good.
I like that one.
Executive order, no more pennies being minted. There's still 10 billion of them in circulation, but
yeah.
no more pennies.
I think they're gonna just recall them all and then melt them down and build something out of them.
Yep.
It won't be
well,
worth much.
You know.
They're not. Actually, no, that's not true. So there are penny. The penny costs way more than a penny to make.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. That was part of the deal, is that also the hundreds of millions of dollars that we spend to make pennies, their value is way, like, less than half of what we spend to make them.
They say it takes for 1 cent, it's 2 cents to make the penny.
Yeah, something like that. So double.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, but hey, if the government can do it, you should do it. So,
right.
right? So what's been the biggest challenge and what's been the biggest blessing with taking over Woody's?
Biggest challenge might be learning how to manage what I consider three different businesses all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the restaurant, right, and you got beer production, and you've got sales and distribution, which we do all three. Mm-hmm. And they're all three different businesses.
You wouldn't really think about it that way, but it's totally true.
Yeah, and in many cases, they're individual businesses on their own.
For real.
And we're doing all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been the biggest challenge, is to learn how to do the ones I didn't know how to do, a.k.a. sales and distribution before,
mm-hmm.
And figure out how to integrate them all together so that we're all giving the same message to all the customers. And that message is, look, we want to make the best, freshest beer that we can and get it to the consumers as quickly as we can so that they are drinking fresh, good-tasting beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, like, it's easy to say that. It is a lot harder to do that. Like, it's really hard to do.
I can imagine.
So that's been a really big challenge, and it's going to continue to be a challenge, but we're working really hard on it, and I feel like we've made some good strides already, and we got a long way to go.
I am not a drinker at all, almost at all. So when it comes to your beer, is it more advantageous for you to sell it in kegs that are in other locations that's on tap because it just goes in those versus having to take the time to have them canned? And do you even do that? Do you do canned beer?
Yes, we do. We do both.
And where do you get them? Where do you get it canned? Because I know that a lot of times people have to wait for these mobile can companies to come around and, you know, but then at that point, like, I mean, you make a bunch of cans, you store it, is, you know, 6 months from now, it's not fresh.
Right. That's very true. No, we have our own canning line.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And so we're running it.
I'm learning a lot about Woody's.
Yeah, I was just talking to our brewer today. In the next 2 months, we're going to be running like 10 canning runs. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a little bit of a downtime because it's a slow season a little mm-hmm. bit, which is good. We did some repairs and got some maintenance done. And stuff
everybody's
like that.
On New Year, New Me.
I mean, everything's just been pushed back. So we're just going to be like canning. So both are good. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to answer the question without giving you all kinds of conditional statements. But
I just didn't know. I didn't know you had your own canning.
No, yeah.
So if you have your own canning, that just solves the problem.
The ideal container is really the keg because there's no light can get in and all that stuff. But that's the same deal with a can, too. But like I said, three different businesses. Okay, maybe I was wrong. There's four. Because, packaging is its own thing, which is very difficult to do on a consistent basis mm-hmm. also. And so we're doing that, too.
So I'll take a cue from Spencer. So when people get back to the old me and they want to start eating again, have you changed anything on the Woody's menu?
We have. We've changed a few things. We eliminated a few things that were labor or ingredient intensive for one or two things, and tried to just streamline the kitchen. And then we've added a few things. So, got some shishito peppers as an appetizer, mm-hmm. which is really – I really like them. We got some – we use the beer cheese. It's really good. And then my favorite right now is a pork belly banh mi that we added to the menu.
I love banh mi.
That one's so good.
Good.
It's great. I really, really like that one. That's my favorite.
Is Woody's right open right now?
Today, no.
Yeah.
We're
can't go there after the show.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, normally we like to say if people are listening while they're driving.
Stop by. Yeah,
I know. That would have been great, huh?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to work on our timing next
time. We'll work on it. It brings me to this because we like to ask our guests. So we have a lot of restaurants on, and we have a lot of restaurants part of the Shasta County Chamber. And I noticed that everybody kind of, knows each other around town.
Yeah.
And gets to know each other. So I always take Woody's for granted. Like, it's going to be great. What are some of your favorite places to go eat around town or around the county that's not Woody's? Like, where do you and your wife like to go when you say, hey, let's go out and eat?
Besides wow. Well, anywhere that's got beer is always a good thing for me, but that's not always where my wife wants to go. So we like to go local places because you can go anywhere, anytime USCA and get you know, franchise places. Nothing against them, but like I can go anywhere and get them. So I don't know. We like Cafe Paradiso. They got some really great food there.
My food has always been really good.
Yeah, the food's really good. We like to go to, I don't know, Mosaic. We go all over the place. We go try to go to different places all the time.
Do you ever go to eat at some of the other restaurants and you eat something and go, oh, that's a good idea.
Absolutely. 100%.
Let's bring some of that.
And anytime we go out of town, we're always going to a brewery. Mm-hmm. And always inspired either what to do or what not to do.
I find it amazing that how many different beers there could possibly be in the world and how many different food choices when you go and you're just like, oh my God, it's like, how can you get any more creative with the same things?
Yeah. I mean, I think that for us, certainly, traveling is a big part of the inspiration.
For real.
And we talked about this in the beginning, like we don't want to get so bogged down in doing business every day on a day-to-day basis that we don't go do the things that inspired us anymore, which is traveling and going to new places and talking to people and collaborating and all that kind of stuff. And we really are trying really hard to run the business rather than allowing it to run me. You know what I mean? So
you've got to reinvent yourself constantly in business so you fail.
Yeah.
Do you have a Valentine's promotion?
She's been at kicking me under the table. Ask about Valentine.
Valentine's week.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we do have a Valentine's special for Valentine's Day. We're doing a it's going to be based for couples, right? Mm. So you bring your significant other, and we're going to give you an appetizer to share, which is a giant 50-50 meatball.
Mm.
And so you get to share that.
And like then half pork and half chicken, half beef.
Half beef, half exactly. Yeah, 50-50. And then we're going to do, you each get an entree plate, and you're going to do, you're putting me on the spot here.
That's all right.
An angel hair pesto pasta with crab and shrimp.
Mm. Ooh.
And then after that, then you get to share
A dessert,
which is a chocolate mousse with raspberries.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, very Valentine's.
Where do you buy your chocolate from?
And then you're serving champagne. No.
Yeah, right.
Beer.
Yeah, beer. Beer, of course. Always. So,
he needs to come out with a hybrid beer champagne.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
they have
possible.
A beer mosa. I mean, that's
a beer mosa.
Half, right?
Yeah, that would probably be the closest. I mean, the Belgian beers are kind highly of effervescent, and so that could.
So
that could
speaking of Valentine's, so let's we can we have a
minute 50.
Yeah,
minute
so,
50.
So, you guys were at the Chocolate After Dark.
We were. Spencer and I. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that
I
go?
Actually got James out of shorts and dressed up in dress slacks and a dress shirt. I was impressed. He looked very dapper.
I was wearing powder.
Is that why you broke out in shingles?
Yeah. Powder blue whatever pants, and what was my shirt color?
Lavender.
Yeah, I really took it to the bank.
Yeah, it was good. We had, I think they sold out 400 tickets.
It was lovely. I was very happy and impressed with the event. There were a lot of people. And Spencer and I that morning were blessed to be given the most incredible strawberries from
Lassen Canyon Nursery. Yeah. They're one of the largest or the largest starter of strawberries in the world. But they don't sell strawberries. You can't go to the nursery and buy them, but they were generous enough to donate the strawberries to us, and they were very fresh and large. And
they were as big as your head. They were amazing and all red. And then we dipped them that morning around 800
strawberries. So if you got a strawberry and you came out and you saw James and I, we hand-dipped them. We're definitely keeping the chocolate Dana Nett and Spencer James Confectioners true to handcrafted.
I smell a
collaboration.
Yeah. We need to do beer, chocolate dipped beer cans.
That's coming.
Thank you guys for coming on. Bart, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations for sure.
We'll have to have one of our Chesed Chamber roundups at your place soon. So.
Sounds great.
All right.
Yep.
All right. And that was it. That was a very, all right. Thank you very much.
Get out.
You said get out.
See you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.